You can see my award-winning climate comedy show Spoilers at a festival near you, provided you live near or are going to McCunclith or Wells comedy festivals. More dates added soon near you, conceivably, who knows what might happen.
And if you are at Mac, come and see ComCom Redacted live at 4 p.m. on the Saturday.
Go to stuartgoldsmith.com and click the very attractive banner image to find out more.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, Stu Goldsmith here. Welcome to this lockdown special of the podcast. After the resilience special that I did a week or two ago, I thought it would be a good idea to check in with some of my friends and some fellow comics and find out how they're coping. So this isn't a proper ComCom. We don't talk much about the craft of my guest, excellent comedian Alexander Bennett. But we will be talking about the dose of COVID-19 he's now very happily recovered from. How he is coping with being isolated with a French woman he doesn't know, and more besides. So this is steeped in coronavirus chat, this one. There are a few more coming out soon which don't mention the pandemic at all, and I'm going to try to mark future episodes as to whether they have any reference to it at all, so that if we do get one that's completely clean, then I can say so in the show notes. And if you're in the mood to listen to something other than people... I'm not saying people worrying, but people relating direct experiences about something, just in case you're a bit concerned or scared of it. I mean, if you're in that camp, maybe you're not listening to this episode, which is clearly marked as a lockdown one. But there we are. This is Alexander Bennett. A great pleasure to talk to him. And if you are a comic listening to this and you have a particular or unique take on life under the pandemic with what you're doing with either your imagination, your creativity, or if you have recovered from the virus, or if you are suffering from the virus but have the wherewithal to talk to me about it. God, no, I can't pitch for that. Basically, you know where to find me. Get in touch if you would like to have a conversation like this with me. It's sort of a combination of bringing you stuff and also, you know, bringing the casual listener some stuff, which is of a different flavour. And also, it's a little bit of international clown rescue, which we could all do with at this troubled time. Remember, you can join the Insiders Club at comedianscomedian.com/insiders to get hold of all of the extra content from every show that has it, to join the Slack workspace. And I always want to describe it as chat and date with other Insiders Club members in your local area. But it isn't that. But you can join the Insiders Club at comedianscomedian.com/insiders. And if you would like to book a working lunch with me, then you can go to comedianscomedian.com/lunch. Also, if you fancy going to comedianscomedian.com/sofa, you will find a little shout out there, a little advertorial for my new show. It's a chat show format concept thing. I'll launch it properly in the next proper episode. But if you're intrigued by that, it's called Stuart Goldsmith's Infinite Sofa, and you can find it at comedianscomedian.com/sofa. You might be able to hear Boutros singing in the background, which is my cue to wrap up and to frap up. I've just been reminded of the wrap up mashup that Rob Deering used to always do in his show Beat This, which sadly I will now not be playing at the Secret Welsh Festival this year on account of reasons. Anyway, this is Alexander Bennett. What's your situation? Are you isolated in a solo kind of way? How are you?
So I'm isolated in a flat that I moved into at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
With two housemates that I don't know.
Oh God,
that's my situation. but they both seem very lovely. I believe one of them has actually gone somewhere else to write the saint. So my situation is I'm living with a French woman that I don't know, which is just funny to me, as a sentence to say.
And are you you've had COVID-19, right?
Almost certainly as much as I can determine. It was a bit frustrating. The NHS guidelines on symptoms are very binary.
Yeah.
But I got sick in a way that I've never been sick before that was respiratory.
Yeah.
In the timeline of all this happening.
Yeah.
And I cannot see it being anything else. I don't know what else.
And so does that mean you are self-isolating within a flat with a French woman that you don't know? So you're not getting to interact with her. Are you just in your room trying to stop her getting it? Or has that ship sailed?
I have interacted with the French woman I don't know. I just want to say that sentence as much as possible. So I self-isolated once I had these symptoms. So for a household, it's 14 days for everyone else in the household.
Yep.
But the person who first has the symptoms, it's 7 days.
Okay.
So I've done my week's isolation.
Yeah.
So I have been outside at this point, still, you know, minding everything, you know, keeping a fair distance from everyone. But to all intents and purposes, it appear to be back to normal now.
Okay.
Which is good. It's funny, I feel like comedians, you know, I was chatting to comedians before this kicked off, and we're all going, obviously we're all going to get this because we're constantly interacting with people.
Super spreaders, right? We're all super spreaders. We're all driving up and down motorways, travelling to numerous people, meeting 500 different people a night.
Absolutely. And as I got to know the flatmates in the flat that I, you know, because I don't know these people, I found out what they do. One of them works in a retail shop where they're constantly handling money, and it's a video games place, so they're constantly exchanging physical items be resold as well.
Money.
And then the French woman that I don't know, she works on the Eurostar.
Oh God. So it turns out
a comedian.
Oh God.
You've got a comedian, someone who works on the Eurostar, and someone who's constantly touching members of the public. So it was inevitable that one or all of us got it, I think.
Has Mademoiselle Mystère, I assume that means the mystery miss, has she had it as well? Has she been
no.
ill?
No. She's not been ill. I sent an email when I'd self-isolated to the flat and our landlord, just saying, listen, this is what's happening and you should also remain under quarantine within the flat. And then she said to me, I caught her smoking out of the window because she is a stereotype. And she says, I just wanted to say thank you very much for the email. It's very nice. And I went, oh, that's perfectly fine. I've put all of my cooking stuff separately, so we're going to use different cooking. And she just waved her hand at me and went, I'm not worried about getting it, it'll be fine. and she said in France, because, you know, the tactic here in Britain is to sort of put the lockdown measures in place,
mm-hmm.
and then on the basis of how well people follow them, that's when give the police more powers with fines and arresting people, and, you know, maybe you have sort of military patrol walking around. You know, there's stages that you go up in terms of how much you lock down. And in France, they just had the army out straight away because, as my flatmate said, the French were not paying attention to
rules. If you say you must stay in your houses, they're like, meh, buff, and then just wander out doing the one.
Because they're used to not doing what they're told to do by their government in a brilliant way.
Because they just started to set fire to things. Is it true, this is maybe the blind leading the blind, but apparently Germany has had an incredibly low mortality rate. And that might be, I mean, the easy speculation there is that's because if you say to a German, stay in your house, they go, very well. You know, and they're just like, it's just, you know, look, without being too liberal with our stereotypes, people do react differently. There are different cultures. That's a thing.
That is a thing. I also, the other thing I know about Germany is that the the renting in Germany is very tightly controlled and very well constructive to the benefit of the population.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're probably a lot less worried about staying inside because they go, well, the rent is something I can afford and
yeah,
it's not, you know, a huge amount of my monthly income.
So
that, again, might be a factor.
Let's talk about, we'll talk a bit about the symptoms and the experience of undergoing the likely coronavirus that you have now recovered from. How are you feeling now?
I'm about 98% back to normal.
There's really? You look awful. Sorry, jokes.
it's the camera, darling. There's a little bit of tightness in the chest, kind of in my sternum.
Okay.
Generally speaking, I'm pretty much back to normal.
Okay. Okay. So we'll come on to the experience of going through it in a moment. Let's do it now. Because I also just want to ask the other kind of prong is I'm Stuart Goldsmith and these are my various prongs. And the other thing I want to get into is your approach to work and seeing that fall apart, the live diary and how you're going to imagining coping sort of financially and what you're doing with rent and all those kind of day-to-day things. But we'll get on to all of that. Let's stick for the moment to like, what was your first feeling in your body that you went, hang on a minute?
Well, I was paying attention to all the stuff coming through on the news about what the various symptoms are. And again, as I previously said, and this is an issue that I'm aware of other people having, is because the NHS guidelines are very, very binary. Mm. And I understand the reason for that. But I think it will let people kind of slip through the cracks because the two main symptoms that they say are the ones to look out for are persistent dry cough.
Yep.
And the other one's just fallen out of
my head. Is it asomia? Is it the lack of taste and smell?
That's not one of the first.
Oh, that's the end of the thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of comes later. But there's two original symptoms, which, you know, it shows you how well the NHS's guidelines have sunk in. Is that there's two symptoms and I remember one of them.
Is it memory loss?
But, yeah, it's a lack of memory. So it was fever is the other one. A fever. And so the week before I self-isolated, I had symptoms that were similar to that, but not what the government / NHS advice was saying were corona symptoms.
Yeah.
So instead of a persistent dry cough, I had a tickle in the back of my throat,
uh-huh.
like a really consistent tickle, a noticeable one. And I was thinking, well, I'm not coughing, but that is there.
Maybe you're just bad at coughing. Maybe you're really excellent at coughing, so you're not affected by the tickle in the throat in the way that most people would be.
Yeah, I can hold a cough in my throat for a long time. You know when you're powering up a skill in a video game and you hold down circle for ages.
Tap, 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 tap.
Yeah, that's my coughing. So I had that, and then I had occasional high temperatures, but they would come and go quite quickly.
Okay.
And I'd literally be walking down the street and think, is that a fever? And then it would kind of be gone in 15 minutes, 20 minutes. So I kind of went, none of these are kind of, you know, it's not quite the thing, but I'm still being careful. And then on Monday, the Monday after that week of having those kind of symptoms, I started to have shortness of breath. So, you know, breathing in and it not quite, I could feel there wasn't enough oxygen getting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And this got gradually worse on that Monday. And then on that Tuesday, I decided to self-isolate because I thought, right, you know, I've had what is nearly a cough. I've had high temperatures. And now I've got a headache, which is another symptom, and a tight chest and shortness of breath.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the transition into the proper symptoms. And for me, the main thing has been, it's all been in the lungs and the chest. It's been tightness of chest and a shortness of breath. the tightness of chest was the longest lasting symptom.
Okay.
And the shortness of breath was the most unpleasant symptom. I did have others. I had a bit of a cough that would come and go. I did have fairly consistent headaches throughout the whole thing. So that's kind of what I'm saying about it, is the guidelines of what the symptoms are quite binary, because I have never in my life had any kind of respiratory issues before. Never had shortness of breath, never found it difficult to breathe, never had tightness of the chest. Given the timeline of these events, I can only assume it's one thing that's caused this. Sure. Does that seem to you like a reasonable...
Totally reasonable. And presumably you've taken the decision not to go to the doctor because you've gone, right, okay, the internet is telling me, if I've got this, stay the fuck inside, retreat under your duvet, get over it.
Yeah, I did get a phone appointment with my GP.
Okay.
After, because I was trying to phone 111 because I was like, these symptoms are kind of, you know, falling on the other sides of what they're saying, and eventually came to the conclusion, 111 is completely overloaded, let's talk to the GP. And the GP kind of went, yeah, it sounds a bit odd, but you're right to self-isolate, and it probably
so isn't. I wonder if you were counted as a statistic. I wonder if when we got the latest update Tuesday last week of this is how many people have got it, I wonder whether you were included in that. And if you weren't, that's quite scary, isn't it?
I am almost certain I was not counted as a statistic. Mm. And I think there are probably thousands and thousands of people who haven't been counted as statistics, because they're just... You know, the main thing at the moment is basically stop the NHS collapsing under the weight of this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even recording cases is not their priority at the moment. Their priority is to deal with people who are really severely ill. And everyone else kind of goes, you know, he's not dying.
Yeah, next.
Pushed aside.
What?
And, yeah.
What was your kind of emotional reaction to it all? Were you in fear for your life? Were you thinking, oh God, this is getting worse and worse and I might die? Or were you thinking, I'm a young and vigorous, healthy person and this is unpleasant, but it'll pass? What was your kind of mentality?
I had a lot of confidence because of my vigorousness. it was thinking about it logically going into it on the basis of the information I've got. I was thinking, I'm fairly young, I'm relatively healthy with no underlying health conditions.
Yeah.
It is now my understanding that there are numerous different factors which could potentially affect how this virus affects you. One of them is blood type.
Okay.
Potentially. So I think I may have got unlucky there. So going into it, I wasn't really frightened. But as I said previously, because I've never had any difficulty breathing or any kind of respiratory issues before, that was scary. I couldn't help, you know, if I'm being honest, I couldn't help but being scared by that. Mm. Because I've never found it difficult to breathe before. And there was, when it was at its worst and I was trying to go to sleep that night, that was kind of the most frightening thing for me, because I had to convince myself that I would be fine, because that wasn't my emotional response. My emotional response was, you know, if you go to sleep, are you going to be able to continue breathing while you're unconscious?
Yeah. And you did, and here you are, and you're on the other side of it. Do you feel, so you're at 90, did you say 98% or 90%?
95, 98%, there's still a little bit of a, particularly when I go for a walk, I can get a bit of a, you know, tightness in the chest, but I don't have any difficulty breathing, and I don't have any of the other symptoms like headache and, you know, the more fluey kind of... aches and pains that I did get a bit of an interaction.
And did you get the lack of the lack of taste? That's kind of lack of taste and smell. Did that happen?
So sort of news of that being a symptom kind of came in when I was kind of coming out of it, if you see what
I'm
saying.
So you couldn't have tested it at the time because you're in a new flat with no possessions in it. And unless the French woman who you don't know starts cooking garlic in the kitchen.
Yeah, I don't think I lost my sense of taste. If I lost my sense of smell, I don't know. I didn't have a way of checking.
Okay. And were you throughout that kind of period, those you've done your time now, that initial isolation, are you kind of quite well connected? I saw you on Facebook kind of talking through the experience. We had arranged to speak to record this. And then I know you said you put it back and then I put it back for another reason. But it was kind of there was like I was worried about you. Did you feel that people on social media or in your life, in your real life, did you feel kind of looked after emotionally? Did you feel supported?
Yes, is the answer. Particularly from comedians.
That's interesting.
It has to be said. Obviously, my friends and family got in touch with me. And, you know, were, you know, my non-comedy friends and family.
Sorry, I don't understand.
My non-comedy family. So, yes, they you know, they were getting in touch to make sure, I was, you know, my close family I was regularly in touch with. You know, the amount of comedians that offered to go and do my shopping for me, or just, you know, if you need anything, you know, shout out to Paul Flannery and Will Duggan, who did do my shopping for me. Yeah, people did not hesitate to get in contact and say anything you need.
That's great. That's great. And I think something I really noticed about that's like a sort of positive side on something I noticed about the comedy community, the social media comedy community, I should say, which is that we were all, because we're all self-employed and because we're all free during the day often, as things were starting to go south, there was a lot of rampant speculation and gigs were being pulled. We were in an industry where it's not like we're hairdressers where people leave their diary appointments in and you just suddenly go, oh, God, no one's turning up. We're having things taken out of our diaries a long way in advance. And it's almost like we also like broadcasting and chatting and talking and speculating and making jokes. So I felt there was an enormous amount of comics on social media going, particularly Facebook, going, what is this? Hang on, is this the worst day for comedy ever? Is that, you know, and we were kind of talking ourselves up, I felt. I had to kind of turn it off a few times because I felt we were talking ourselves up into a sort of scared frenzy. So it's lovely to hear a much more positive side of that.
And there is an aspect to this on a kind of micro level to do with comedians and a macro level to do with kind of everyone. There is something about all being in the same boat together. This isn't something that's happened to a few of us or like one comedy festival that some of us are doing. All of us, you know, I have gone from earning, you know, several thousand pounds a month to nothing. And loads of people I know are in exactly the same position. And I think there's something really unifying. And again, if you take it on a broader aspect to the country and the world, there is something really unifying about this is happening to all of us. And I think that actually does encourage people's better nature, because it's not even, but for the grace of God go I. It's, I am the same as this person. Yes. And, I kind of think it really kind of quickly snaps everyone onto the same page. I would also say, I think, comedians are, you know, dreadful in all sorts of ways. I think we, because we, I think, share personality traits that have the desire to talk ourselves down or, you know, make a joke about how dreadful we are. And we are dreadful in lots of ways. But I think a lot of people within this industry do have a real desire to do the right thing. So I think we're seeing a bit more of that because of the circumstances. And, of course, because all of their work has disappeared, so they have time to do the right thing.
That's certainly helpful. How are you feeling? Did you see Rishi Sunak's statement? Are you going to be looked after by that if you manage to make it till June?
I deliberately went out of the house because I didn't want to scream at my laptop. So I will be looked after by that. I mean, there's no reason I shouldn't be, because the government has said they will get in contact with us regards that. That payment will cover my living costs. Okay. Although I need to look into if you can get universal credit along with that payment, because if I can get both of those things, I can ride this out on those.
I believe you can, but I don't want to steer you in the wrong thing. Yeah. Okay.
And that's my kind of working assumption.
Okay. And what is the furthest away gig of yours that has been officially pulled?
I haven't had anything in May pulled yet.
Yeah.
Which, all that, I have had some clubs email me and say we are just closed for the foreseeable.
Yes, fair enough.
So I suppose that's kind of, you know, indefinite. I suppose the furthest away thing that must surely be pulled is Edinburgh.
Surely. Who knows? Who knows what they're doing? Did you see that very funny statement that's been doing the rounds?
Yes. Yeah, no, I
believe that the author of that doesn't wish to be identified, so I'm not going to speculate. I've got a couple of ideas. Whoever it is, great work. I mean, that's astonishing. Yeah. That's astonishing. The Olympics have been pulled.
Yes, and they, you know, aside from the Olympics, there could not be a better petri dish for a second wave of this virus than the Edinburgh Festival.
Funnily enough, it would be Ed Petri dish. that's a comedy reference there. Yes, of course. Small hot rooms full of people breathing on each other. No, come on.
Full of people from all over the world, you know, breathing on each other and doing all sorts to each other, just in a city that there's not a lot of space. Mm. But, you know, you can't, if Edinburgh's busy, you can't maintain 2 metres from anyone. It's surely a matter of time before that festival gets pulled.
And are you in? Will that leave you adrift? Have you spent loads of money on it already? Have you bought posters? I think that's going to be the killer. If anyone's bought banner space, I think that might be.
Yeah, I was going to spend loads of money on Edinburgh this year, and when I was making the decisions as to whether or not that would happen, all of this started happening, so I just about avoided making those decisions. So I feel hugely for people who've already spent that money, because I miss being that person by a hair's breadth. And of course, if I'd have spent all that money on Edinburgh, I would not have the I've got a little, you know, not a big pot of money by any means at the moment, but I've got a little pot of money to sit on while all of this is happening. If I'd have put all of that into Edinburgh, as was the plan, I'd be really in deep shit right now.
I'm glad that you are not in deep shit right now. And have you got sort of a timeline of, well, I was going to say when you're going to emerge from isolation, because we're all on lockdown. So I believe you can go to a park and have your exercise at the same time as one friend, not in your household, and walk 6 metres apart from each other. Is that, have I understood that right? I believe you can, like you.
I was I was thinking about that on the basis of the guidelines just the other day, and I think from the guidelines, you know, it's meeting, it's you know, groups of more than two people, which are not okay, apart from if you're in the same household. So theoretically, I think what you're saying is correct, that you can, you know, you can arrange to meet a friend and stay 6 metres away from each other.
And could you do a relay?
6 feet away from each other.
Could you arrange with people that you all individually, only two of you ever met at any one time? Could you organise almost like a, if you imagine a road through a park and everyone stands at one place, taking, like doing star jumps, taking their exercise, and you can walk 6 feet away from one of them. And then I feel like I'm trying to game the system. This is very irresponsible. I'm more interested in, in trying to my way through the ideas than I am in preventing the spread of coronavirus. Ignore that.
In my head, I just had some policemen just sighing, just going, this isn't
the time. Yeah, this is absolutely not the time. I disavow that entirely, and I don't wish anyone to do that based on this. But let's all stay alive and let's all respect the people who are risking their lives in order that we don't do stupid shit like that. Yes, that was...
My self-isolation ended on the day of full lockdown.
I spent
a week in the flat and emerged. Yeah. And it was, one piece of exercise a day, or you can go to the shops, which is fine. Yeah. But it was a bit frustrating to, you know, have full-on cabin fever, having not left the flat at all, and then go, it's lockdown time. It's like, just one day. I would have had to, one day. That would have been good.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let's finish up with one thing, one kind of prediction for how you think this will change the world. Let's assume there is still a world. Let's assume it ends and blows over. Could be huge scale thing or something tiny about the way people behave or a technology or a thing. Just one tiny prediction. Could be huge, could be trifling. Have as much time to think as you like. I should have prepped this. I've only just thought of it. Future ones of these, I'll say.
No, that's all right. Do you mind if I just put a pin in that for a second and reference something you mentioned earlier? Because I was talking to Jos Norris about something which I think is really important for creative people, kind of. And you know, who are experiencing this, you don't have to be productive. You don't have to make a thing. You don't have
to write your
novel. Start putting on a like. You know, I was when I was ill and I had that shortness of breath, I was trying to organise work, and I was trying to, and I found it very hard, but I had to stop myself and go, you've got an unknown virus that doctors don't know enough about that's stopping everything. Why are you still trying to work under these circumstances? You know, I've got loads of work that I will be getting on with, and there is stuff that I'll be doing, but I think it's good to take the hit of this emotionally. This is huge, what is happening. And it is absolutely fine to just go, and just sit in your house for a few days and just cope. Because the desire is, oh, all my work's gone and blah, blah, blah. And I have a huge empathy for people who, one of my housemates, his job did not let him stop working until the very last moment. It wasn't an option for him. So I have huge sympathy for people who it's not an option for. But if it is an option for you, and if you do get ill, you can not do anything. You can just be ill, or you can be sad about all of this. And I think that's an important thing to...
My friend Mark described himself as almost grieving it for the first week. I had a very manic week. He had a very angry week. He sort of went through the processes of grief because he lost, he is a live performer, entirely live. He lost all of his work, and his wife lost all of her work, and they have two children, and they are, scared and grieving the loss of their work, grieving the loss of their life, and... they're not the loss of their life, but the loss of their lifestyle entirely, and grieving the loss of your own life, auto grieving. It's very efficient. Just treating it like grief, and then realizing, oh, one of those stages is accepting it. It's okay to feel loss and anger, and it's okay when you have spent. I've spoken to someone this week as well who's only really just gone full time in the last year, and suddenly all of that's gone. And it's just smashed so much progress. It's like I always used to describe having your first child, like you've spent your life building up a huge game of mousetrap. You've got your income, you've got your security, your house, your relationship, all the rest of it. Then a child just comes along and sweeps it off the table. And I think for a lot of people, it feels like that. But absolutely giving oneself the permission to not excel at the moment. And particularly when, if you are connected to social media, as so many of us are, to kind of deal with our feelings of isolation, that we end up watching the social media of some hyper-achieving winners who are not only apparent winners, who are not only very busy, perhaps still healthy, perhaps not financially insecure at the moment, perhaps not troubled by needing to care for people. So they're independent, financially free, and all the rest of it. And glued to social media and creating stuff. And then all of that is put through the filter of social media, where you don't see their failures and their flaws. You see their pretend failures and their kind of goofy, mediated flaws. And, oh, I'm really freaking out, guys. You don't see any of the real gut-wrenching stuff. So we've all got to be careful not to get seduced into thinking that we have to write our novel right now.
Yeah. And allow yourself the space to... your friend is... lost all of his work and has a family. It's absorb the impact is entirely reasonable.
Your fund, which was intended to fund something 5 years from now, or your investments or your retirement or whatever, the beginnings of a thing, might now get completely depleted in order to stay alive, and that will take some time to get used to.
And indeed, the loss of progress. I was thinking about, what if this happened to me, several years ago? This would be a really bad situation, And I've worked to, I had a lovely life up until a fortnight ago, and it's okay to just take a moment to go, you know what? I'm really fucked off that this has got in the way of that. I think that's an entirely reasonable emotional reaction to let yourself have.
I quite agree. Let's come back to this wrap-up idea of a thing that you think will change for better or worse.
I suppose there's a small thing which could have big implications, because you occasionally meet people who occasionally you meet people who when we're worrying about things that we see going on in the world as potentially dangerous, you know, very, very unpleasant people being in positions of high power, environmental, you know, all of the big things that we worry about, you know, as they would refer to them in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the big bads. you can tell what I've been watching during this. But there's an attitude some people have when people are saying the impact of this could be really bad. There's an attitude some people have of, not in my lifetime. You know, we're not going to have another world war, because that's in the past and that's what people in the past are like. We're not going to have a major disaster, because not in my lifetime.
And we're all prone to thinking like that. You know, it's how you think when you're young, you know. It's how I think. You know, I'm very prone to that sort of thinking. So I think the broader implications of this is that people will think it could happen. You know, the environmental breakdown could happen in my lifetime. Things going very bad on a global political scale could happen in my lifetime. And hopefully people will act accordingly as a result of that.
You sort completely, of see what I'm struggling to respond with something that doesn't trivialise what I think is an extremely insightful and very profound point. I think you're absolutely right. I think again, with all due respect to people who have lost people and how awful this is, and those of us who will go on to lose people, it's terrifying. But maybe in a huge infrastructural sense, if something like this had to happen, it happening now, when we maybe get the chance to be shaken awake, almost slapped awake, with regard to exactly, as you say,
yeah,
the kind of the explosion of survivorship bias, and actually waking up and going, this environmental thing, which we've all thought, it'll never really happen. You know, climate change devastating the world. It won't really happen. Now, actually, we're like, things really can happen. Things really, huge things can happen.
Yep.
And they don't seem the premise of sci-fi anymore. They see, I don't mean the premise, they're the purview of sci-fi. They seem like, this is a real thing. And maybe we can start regarding the environmental crisis as a clear and present danger, to coin a phrase.
Yeah, and I don't think, I think the immediate aftermath of this may be business as usual. But I think people would then react against business as usual. Those people in positions of power will try to go, right, we need to get back to the way things were. But, you know, not to put too fine a point on it, I think too many people will have died or been severely affected by this for the general population to kind of accept things being exactly the way they were. Maybe it'll be a slow transition, but it's that kind of phrase you use of being shaken awake by this. It can happen in your lifetime. There are implications of the ways that we.
It's a bleak flavour of optimism, but I think it is optimism.
I believe in the Brexit referendum, as far as I understand it, as I'm led to believe by what I read. The stats were basically the older you were, the more likely you were to vote to leave the European Union. And, whatever anyone who might be listening to this politics are on that issue, it's irrelevant for the point. but generally speaking, the older you were, the more likely you were to have voted to leave the European Union. But I believe that that came back round the other way when you got to the sort of 90-plus age okay. demographic, because those were the people who were actually alive and fought in the Second World War. And those people understand the huge importance of a really united Europe because of the social and political implications of that. So there is a hope that we would have some aspect of that generation, is that we understand something through experience that we can take further down the line.
Alexander Bennett, thank you very much.
So thank you very much to Alexander for coming on the show, and I wish he continues with his speedy or averagely timed recovery. You can check out everything that Alexander is up to at all of those places he mentioned and by looking in the show notes of this episode. So follow him, find out what he's doing. And yes, insiders. So these are your backslashes. They're not backslashes, they're forward slashes. Comedianscomedian.com and then /insiders to join the Insiders Club, /lunch. To book a working lunch with me, we can talk about your professional development as a comic or anything else you would like. There's some free structures on there, there's some pricing, and on that site also it explains there's sort of cheaper fees available for people who are struggling financially, what have you, during the crisis, and /lunch. Oh, sorry, that is lunch. And /sofa to find out more about the chat show. That's it for now. Regular episode coming your way very soon. We have Scott Bennett and an absolute blue-fledged bastard of a belter with Robert Popper. So look forward to that one. That one.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.